Chapter 12. From Attraction to Conscious Co-Creation. The law of attraction came into the mainstream view in the last two decades as a seemingly new idea. However, this is not new information. The law of attraction, or rather, the law of creation, comprises ancient wisdom that has been engaged by shamanic healers and spiritual adepts for thousands of years. Its emergence into the mainstream simply tells us that we have reached an evolutionary tipping point where the larger population is ready to receive it. Any thought or idea that enters our energy field comes in through an existing pattern. This is true for all seemingly new thoughts and ideas that arise individually or collectively. They are guided by a wisdom that leads them to the most accessible entry point into the stream of consciousness. Each new evolutionary pattern is subtly introduced into our stream of consciousness so that we can flow with it gently and become accustomed to its rhythms. This ensures that those thoughts or ideas will be accepted. The best way to shift an existing pattern is to enter into its natural flow and slowly shift it from within. Trying to change the stream of consciousness by immediately disrupting its pattern is like trying to change a current by jumping into a raging river. In order for change to be easily integrated, its entry must be aligned in some way with our current level of consciousness. For thousands of years, our energy flow has been aligned with an evolving capitalistic ideology. Within this flow, we have slowly been conditioned to believe that achieving success for oneself provided the greatest degree of personal security. It was along these lines that the teachings on attraction entered into our global field of awareness. When the law of attraction was first revealed to the mass consciousness, it was a life-changing epiphany for many. No longer did people have to work hard for wealth and personal prosperity. They could now attract it by following a series of mental and spiritual practices. Under these new laws, the paradigm was changing. No longer were the poor and meek destined to inherit the earth. Instead, they were destined to be rewarded with financial gain and material wealth in the here and now. Once this caught on, the marketing experts transformed the laws of attraction to the laws of abundance. Using the laws of abundance, we didn't have to sweat and toil and sacrifice. We simply set our intentions and created our vision boards. We cut out images of the fancy cars and expensive homes that we most wanted. We envisioned our ideal life partners, and then we invested time each day imagining how good it would feel to have the things we had envisioned. It was a true spiritual wonder, but its power was only beginning to be understood. In order for people to fully understand all the implications of what they were learning, they would need to broaden their view and look beyond their individual needs. In order to understand the full measure of the power we're dealing with, we have to look at it as more than a tool of acquisition. We have to understand its role in ordering the chaos of our lives. In the 1960s, meteorologist Edward Lorenz discovered that even the smallest changes in the atmospheric currents, those viewed as being insignificant by usual standards, created huge discrepancy in developing weather patterns. This phenomenon became known as the butterfly effect of modern chaos theory. Even the slightest addition to the atmospheric current could create drastic changes in the weather patterns globally. Something as small as a butterfly flapping its wings determined whether a storm would develop on the other side of the world a year later. Chaos theory taught us that every current that enters into the flow has an impact on the overall pattern. This same principle is at play in the creation of our present reality. Our thoughts create an energetic friction. When we engage those thoughts and add our emotion to them, that friction builds pressure and creates smoke. The smoke materializes into form, and once that form has enough pressure behind it, it is propelled into the current of active creation. We aren't just creating when we manifest the images from our vision boards. We are creating every moment of every day. Every thought, word, and action that we give life to enters into this current and creates our reality. Up to this point, the creative principle illustrated through the laws of attraction has been used in a way that has kept us in perfect alignment with the capitalistic belief that we have been conditioned to accept. the belief that we are little more than consumers. Under this conditioning, we have lost sight of the truth of our personhood, lost sight of our humanity and connectivity with the rest of creation. But now we're in the midst of another evolutionary shift, one that requires us to expand our awareness, to recognize the truth of our interconnectedness, and then to understand how our thoughts, words, and actions impact the entire creation. It is time for us to take what we've learned through the laws of attraction and begin using those creative powers to reunite humanity, heal the spiritual and psychic wounds that we've created, and begin the process of healing Mother Earth. At one time, our awareness was aligned with the movement of the entire creation, and our notions of success were tied to the success of the whole. Somewhere along the line, we lost that alignment. Now, we must get it back and begin collectively imagining a more peaceful, just, and harmonious world into being. How the laws of creation work. Andrew Carnegie said, "Any idea that is held in the mind, that is emphasized, that is either feared or revered, will begin at once to clothe itself in the most convenient and appropriate form available." We've created a society that is adept at emphasizing fearful ideas. As a result, our outer reality has clothed itself appropriately in fearful outcomes. If you follow the news and other media sources, volatility appears to be the new normal. In a world where information is literally at our fingertips, and suffering and destruction are glorified, sensationalized, and played out in real time, it can be hard to remain focused on the type of world that we hope to create. There are so many distractions, so many moments where the fear and pain of it all seems to be too much. Our senses are under siege, and our sensibilities are stretched to the limits. The onslaught of information, with each story seemingly more terrifying than the next, keeps us in a perpetual state of fear and defensive reaction. According to this view of reality, the world is a frightful place. When we succumb to the ideas being presented to us in the mainstream, when we invest our time pointing to them, emphasizing them, and condemning them, we are actively creating more of the same. When we hold an idea, invest our energy into that idea, and allow our feelings to surround it, we are feeding its growth. If we hope to create a new reality, we have to shift our emotional energy away from the reality being presented and focus on the reality that we wish to create. The images around us are a reflection of our inner emotional landscape. They are there to illustrate the consequences of our energetic and emotional investments. Once we realize our role in creating these images, we open the door to making a different choice. A good example of the type of change we need to see energetically can be found in the growing divestment movement. People all over the world are withdrawing their investments from organizations and businesses that are funding the fossil fuel industry. This movement shows us how our creative powers can be used to change the direction of our world. We have to divest from the things that we want to dissolve and invest in what we most want to create. This doesn't mean that we stop paying attention to what is going on around us. It's important for us to look at the reflection. The reflection shows us what needs to be changed. We can't create change if we are unwilling to look at the things that need changing. We must be willing to look poverty, pain, injustice, environmental destruction, and all forms of bigotry and hate squarely in the eye. As we do so, we must learn to limit the mental, emotional, and energetic investment that we make in those things. This is what I call the 80-10-10 rule. We invest 10% of our energy looking at what needs to be changed, another 10% holding back the tide of harm that has been created by our previous investments, and the final 80% creating a reality that offers compassion, safety, equality, justice, and sustainability for all life. We could spend a lifetime debating how a problem might be solved, examining it and describing it from every angle, or we could simply get to work resolving it. If someone is hungry, we feed them. If they are sick, we heal them. If they need shelter, we provide it. If someone is destroying the earth, we stop them. If someone is harming another, we intervene. Our goal is to become a tuning fork for an elevated consciousness and a more equitable reality. We do this by investing in higher emotional currency. Supporting one another and valuing one another's gifts and the gifts offered to us by the earth. Offering a kind word or gesture to a stranger, providing compassionate understanding to someone that has harmed you, and opening your heart to more loving energies will move you to a higher level of being. We live in a vibratory universe. We create, sustain, and amplify the frequencies that we hold and feed. By choosing to feed higher vibrational thoughts and emotions, we elevate our own frequency. When we elevate our own frequency, we contribute greatly to the elevation of the planetary vibration, and we open ourselves and the world around us to greater creative possibilities. I had an intense experience that helped me see the vibratory nature of the universe one day following a meditation. As I was coming out of the meditation, I saw that my ex-husband was sitting in front of me, drawing a picture of me. He asked me to stay still so that he could finish his sketch. As I was sitting there, I looked down at his hand, and the form of his hand shifted before my eyes. From his wrist to his fingertips, I no longer saw flesh and bone. Instead, I saw a series of tiny balls of light that were connected by minuscule threads of energy. I saw how the molecules shifted as he studied and concentrated on each aspect of the sketch that he was composing. When he paused and looked up at me, I saw the colors around those molecules change as his attention shifted from focusing on his sketch to smiling at me. And I saw the quickening of the spin that was associated with those emotional changes. With every shift in focus and emotion, the energies around him responded, and the molecules that formed his being moved in concert with those responses. When we understand how our universe works and how vibratory frequency creates our reality, we can begin working within the structure to shape our world. This practice is the shamanic principle in action. In our tradition, the word for shaman translates to hollow man or hollow being. It is the same idea as the hollow reed philosophy in Christianity. The shaman becomes a hollow vessel for energy to move through. He or she guides the energy of spirit with feeling and emotional intent, outside of thought or action. The shaman enters into the realm of active creation and manifests changes in the physical, emotional, and spiritual bodies. A true shaman works in harmony with creation, using the powers of creation to support life, never to damage or destroy. When we engage creation, we must be willing to be responsible for everything that we create, knowing that the world is interconnected and that every thought, breath, and action influences the whole. This requires us to choose our creations consciously. When we ask for extreme wealth for ourselves, we may deprive another. When we ask for material items, we must be willing to bear the cost that is associated with them being made. This means we must ask ourselves, has life been harmed or served by my manifestations? Was the land damaged? Were the waters contaminated? Or were the animals harmed? Did anyone suffer as a result of what I've called into being? As with all things, we must evolve our practice. And we must do so quickly. With great knowledge comes great responsibility. Therefore, we must take care to use the power that we have been given consciously and responsibly so that we can improve the condition of life for all living beings and Mother Earth. Once we've all demonstrated that we can be trusted with this power, more will be revealed.